You by the NASCAR track? What was that noise?
I'm basically right off the street, so it is what it is. I can't get too mad. But guys, let's go ahead and get the episode started. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr., and today we have a very special episode. We are going over the NCAA tournament. And to kick it back to college days, guys, today our episode is sponsored by Jack Daniels. We all got a little something in our cup to, you know, give us that college spirit of being drunk while trying to be productive. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Philip, I don't know what that was. What was that, my guy?
That chimichanga. What you hear today from me is all me. Straight up.
Whatever, man. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Guys, have you been feeling about the NCAA tournament so far? Tons of upsets. And St. Peter's need to go ahead and make the Final Four.
Okay, so firstly, let's do the intros. You always sauced up. Introduce yourself, Calvin.
What's up, everybody? As always, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's always a pleasure to be here. Don't drink Cavassier warm. Yeah, okay. That's how I'm going to start.
Did you say hey, okay. Well, who sponsored this episode?
Look.
He out here shouting out other brands.
Well.
You broke rule number one.
Well, the ship sailed now. All right,
the go ship on. The ship has sailed. And hello, Philip Dixon, a.k.a. the Box Man. And if Calvin give advice, I'll give advice too. Don't let your ego push you to drink the very bottom of the beer can. The backwash, that's all it is. You don't have to drink, you don't have to finish the can. That's disgusting. Don't do it. By the time you get there, it's probably warm. Don't let your ego force you to finish the whole thing. Be an adult, throw it away, get the next one.
Don't let your ego force you to drink beer. That's my entire statement.
Go ahead. Okay. I mean, yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Where do we want to start? Okay. I guess to start, I'll just. So, of course, right, even though we were not able to do an episode last week, I made a bracket because I make one every year. It's a lot of fun. Even though. You know, you make your bracket, you spend all this time going over numbers, and then, like, you know, reality hits. And it's in shambles before the first weekend is up, or something close. Mine is surprisingly intact. Like, there have been hits. It started out kind of rough, right? But, like, it got better. But, like, I made some mistakes. And these were preventable mistakes, right? For example, actually a lot of it just came down to like being like, you know what, I like this coach, and like switching my pick even though like I knew better, and then like the coach disappointing me. Right, at last minute I switched my pick from Indiana to St. Mary's got Indiana, right? I like Shaka Smart. I picked Marquette. That did not go well. And, like, fairness, it did work with Michigan State because, like, that's the only reason I picked Davidson. I picked Michigan State over Davidson. I trust Izzo. I didn't trust his team. I won't pretend. Tennessee is out. Kentucky is out. Kentucky lost to a 15 seed.
I love to see it. I love to see it.
And of St. Peter's of all places. Like, I did not know St. Peter's College was D1. I also did not know they existed until.
Did you see their the video of their student body watching the game?
Yeah, I think I did.
So no. Small. Like, it's like according to the video, it's like a lot of the student body, like a majority of the student body. And it's like in the gym. And not even like the gym looked like the same size as Fisk Gym, if anybody knows that reference. It's like NAIA, right? Yeah. It was like, that's a D1 school? How? You know what I mean? But they did their thing. So it don't really matter. It don't matter at the end of the day. At the end of the day, they did their thing.
Right. Look. And they look good, too. Super disciplined. Like all the, like, nerdy, cliche basketball stuff that you would say about a smaller school that made it this far.
Like, I'm not going to pretend, though. Like, I didn't really look at the Kentucky game, right? I just, because at that point, I was getting lazy with making my bracket. I'm like, let me see what Kentucky's rebounding looks like, because I feel like teams that can't rebound are very vulnerable to, like, teams that can rebound in the tournament. And, like, I'm like, oh, Kentucky's rebounding is just fine. And, like, I left it at that. And it's just like, oh, say, they lost in the round of 64 to St. Peter's. Okay, cool, I guess.
I didn't watch the game. I'm going to confirm with you.
I caught, like, the end of it.
Listen, there's a lot of games. Like, there's a lot of games. And usually, I don't go. Yeah, I'm going to watch, you know, the 1 seed or two seed, whatever they are, against the 15 seed, right? Because I'm going to watch the ones with closer numbers to each other, or closer seats to each other, because I know the games tend to be better. Mm-hmm. But every so often, you have that 15 seed or that very, very low seed that does some ridiculous things, just like this game. And if that's how you watch basketball, or if that's how you watch March Madness, the way I just explained it, hey, sometimes you're going to just miss those games. Now, I sometimes miss them, and sometimes I don't see them, or sometimes I just, you know, see them on the back end because I'm on Twitter all of a sudden, oh, what's the upset alert, whatever it is, I have to get to it. But this brother don't got cable, so all I have is TBS. So if it's on TNT or True TV, it's a wrap for me. So you know, I have to be very selective, unwillingly. And I missed the game, but, you know, good for them.
Yeah. And, you know, normally, like, a young Kentucky team, I would not be surprised that they lost this early in the tournament. Because there's, like, a large group of freshmen. But this is, like, an older group. Like, they got Oscar Tshiebwe, who's just the beast on the boards. And, like, a bunch of dudes that's been in Kentucky for, like, 2 to 3 years. Did not expect them to go down like this.
It's just not at all. Just not at all.
Well, and they get, like, a lot of love coming into, like, the coming into March Madness, because, you know, they always get good around, like, February. We have, like, take them seriously, and that went straight out the window.
Yeah, it's fine. But as long as Kyle Perry loses, I'm good. I mean, serious. Like,
fair enough.
I'm good. Right, I don't want Coach K to win. Right, I don't like Kyle Calipari, and I don't like Coach K. If they lose, I'm doing good. Anybody who wants Duke to win this year, kiss it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I picked Duke to get a title.
See, so unfortunately, I didn't realize that Calvin fit in line with that narrative.
But here's the thing. I don't want Coach K to win this title. I want him to go out sad. But, like, so, like, I feel like something that, like, people, like, when they talk about the tournament, tend to ignore things like motivations and things, right? Mm-hmm. The human element and stuff. Because, like, you can't necessarily put the human element in, like, some sort of neat, tidy, like, number or something. Which reminds me, we'll get around to Providence. So, like, the thing is, like, if it weren't for the fact that, like, this is Coach K's, like, farewell tour, right? And, like, here's the thing. Yeah, like, it's his farewell, like, he's clearly a man trying to go out on his own terms.
I mean,
right? Yeah. His own terms are a championship.
Well, I mean, yes, 100%, I agree with you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Let me just interject real quick.
Mm-hmm.
On the farewell tour thing. Mm-hmm. I hate this. Never in my life that I think I'd agree with Tyler Hansborough about anything, but he said that, Coach K's farewell tour is stupid. Over the top, dumb. And I'm like, yes, I do think this is the case. Great. You've been a great coach for a long time. You've had a lot of great players. Boom, boom, bat. Go away. I was so happy that that North Carolina beat them for his last home game. And then, but the fact that he felt that he needed to give a speech to the home crowd afterwards after that loss made me hate him even more. Right?
Like, I didn't watch that game, so
he was like, "This isn't Duke way. You lost, and I like UNC too, and you lost. Go away." But then obviously they're trying to use like that whole like losing North Carolina thing, the last season of Coach K, as like the motivational aspect that you just mentioned to like propel them in the tournament. But it's not like even an internal thing anymore. It's like you hear outside people talking about that exact same thing. And I'm just like, I don't care about this man. This man needs to just go away.
I am not inclined to disagree with you. I am not Coach K's biggest fan. I am not necessarily a Coach K hater either. But like, he, unlike a lot of coaches and unlike a lot of players, in his mind, certainly, like, to watch it from the outside, he has an opportunity to do what a lot of people don't generally get to do, which, like I said, which is to go out on their own terms, right? To, like, to end the way you want to end, right? To end like Jordan, right, with the Bulls. Granted, he came back with the Wizards, but we're going to ignore that. That doesn't matter right now. With that understanding, right, that he's probably a person trying to go out on his own terms, trying to get one last championship before, like, he retires. Like, in my mind, that tells me he is going to do everything in his power to get it, right? He's going to be coaching his ass off the whole time. And he is one of the best coaches.
You sit on the sideline and yell at kids. You are a solid coach. People really get invested into college basketball. Everybody gets invested for 1 month, but people are really invested in college basketball and college sports in general. I understand that. I'd argue with less about the sport and more about the college itself. Whatever. I get that. Coach K, I don't think coaches should have farewell tours. You are not in the game. You're not bruised and battered. You're not breaking any bones. You're not spraining anything. You're not pulling anything. You are not, doing all the physical exertion, let alone the mental exertion of winning championships and losing championships. You are on the sideline recruiting these kids to go out and play for you. Why do you deserve a farewell tour? I don't care. I don't care if it's him. I don't care if it's, it doesn't matter what sport, Bill Belichick. I don't care if it's Bill Self, whoever. I don't care. Coaches do not deserve farewell tours at all.
Now, Philip, you are a coach. You know how much time and effort you put into game planning, just getting your team ready for like the entire season. How can you like possibly say that? Like you know, they're not out there, but like.
I was also a player.
For 25 years. Like, you're exhausted after, like, the high school basketball season.
Yes, I am. But guess what? I was exhausted when I was a player even more. You know why? Because that's a lot harder. Some games, I literally got to sit down, cross my arms, and just look. These kids over here, I need water, coach. I need water. I'm over here. I'll go get that water. Not breathing hard at all. Why? Because I'm not doing nothing. I put them up into situations to be as simple as possible. And I get them there. Whatever. And in the game, I can't play for them. So if you win a championship, they got to be the one to make the shots, right? If Duke wins championship this year, their players have to be the ones to make the shots. Their players have to be the ones to be healthy or be on the court for they need to be in that position in the first place. Coach K recruited you and gave you X's and O's. He did things coaches do, and I understand the value of a coach. I'm not saying that that's not that is an invaluable thing. What I'm saying is, I understand why Kobe Bryant got a farewell tour. What I'm saying is, I understand why Dwayne Wade got a farewell tour, begrudgingly, right? But I don't understand why the Count gets a farewell tour.
Okay. Wait, what? Hold up. Okay, I don't even know how to respond to that last sentence. But, so I think it just kind of amounts to, like, when we talk about, like, college programs as opposed to, like pro, right, when you're coaching, like, a pro team, that, like, coaches matter a lot more to college programs, right? The right coach can turn you from, like, one of the worst teams to, like, from a trash team to, like, a good team, mm-hmm. right? Now, it's not an immediate thing, right? You got to go out, you got to recruit your players, you got to develop your talent, got to have good X's and O's and all that good stuff. And, like, Coach K is Duke basketball and has been for, what, like, the last 30 years, 40 years? And this isn't to say, like, oh, like, I don't feel compelled to argue the point of whether or not coaches should get farewell tours. But, like, for college, the fact that a coach would get a farewell tour makes a certain amount of sense for no other reason than, like, the reason players don't get farewell tours is that, generally speaking, they're all gone in 4 or 5 years. Like, your senior year is your farewell tour. It's built into the system. But, okay, moving back to basketball for a second, I just think that, like, he's going to be doing everything in his power from now until the championship game to get a title. Lighting a fire under his players, putting some of his best X's and O's out there, whatever he needs to do to win. That's all I was trying to argue. And, like, because otherwise I wouldn't have him in the title game. I'm not going to front, let alone getting the chip. Okay, if I can move it for a second from Coach K, a dude we are apparently collectively ambivalent about outside of feeling like he shouldn't get a farewell tour. Sir?
Before you move on, let me stop you. Did Coach K really get, like, a farewell tour? Like, you guys got to tell me, because I'm pretty sure y'all watched more college basketball than me this year. Because I was busy with high school. I don't remember seeing, like, anything. Like, I don't remember, like, watching ESPN.
He wasn't getting, like,
he's playing here today.
No, he wasn't getting, like, gifts like Kobe Bryant got.
Yeah.
But yeah. It is the thing on the front of the mind of every single person that plays Duke this year.
Yeah.
100%. Because it's not, not on accident. It's, they're letting it know. They're people at ESPN, Fox Sports, they're just letting it be known.
I have a Duke fan in my ear right now, and she says he didn't get one.
Compared to literally every other coach, he got one. Compared to every other coach, he definitely got one. The bar is not high, sir.
I wouldn't go that far. You're wild. Yeah, the Duke fan said he's the best coach.
I don't know about that. But I don't feel like arguing that point right now. Moving on. For brief moments in time, and we can get to some other stuff here in a second, let's see where they're at. I would like to talk to you briefly about Providence. All right. Providence, according to KenPom, has been far and away the luckiest team in basketball, like in college basketball, like all season. Right? Like, so people pick them to get upset early, right? Because, like, they're, like, what, some ridiculous, like, something between, like, 11 and 2 or something, and, like, games decided by, like, 5 points or less. Talking about that, you know, like, human element or whatever, right? Right, a lot of people picked Providence to get upset, right? They picked them to lose to South Dakota State, a legitimately good team who both has a very good offense. And for once, when we talk about teams with very good offense, they had a mediocre defense. Right? It wasn't great, but they had one. Which is more than we can say for, like, either Iowa team. But, like, that's we'll probably get to that at some point. But Providence won that game. Right? And they beat Richmond. They are now in the Sweet 16 to face Kansas, who I assume they'll lose to. But, like, if they keep it close, I don't like y'all's chances. I'm not going to sit and pretend. Because, like, here's the thing. So, like, I've tried to understand the KenPom, like, luck stat, right? Basically, from what I can gather from, like, half reading the stuff that KenPom laid out about it, because, like, it's not super intuitive to people that aren't math people like that, like, that don't just do math on a regular. From some Googling, basically, ultimately what the luck stat gets is everything it attempts to get everything the efficiency stats don't, basically. So, like, basically, right, after we crunch the numbers on your offense and your defense from the numbers you have to crunch, you know, your percentages, your, you know, points given up, rebounds, all that good stuff, right, after that, the luck stat more or less captures everything else. And this Providence team is one of the highest luck stats since KenPom has existed. Basically. And, like, so the reason I picked Providence to make it to the Sweet 16 before, you know, presumably losing to Kansas, who I'm assuming blows them out, but, like, if they don't, it might be a rough ride, is because, like, at a certain point, right, if you keep winning close games, it might not be luck anymore. Right? Like, and, like, I get, right, I'm sure, for, like, a fan, it's not a comfortable experience for your team to constantly be in those close games. But, like, if they keep winning them, they might just be good at winning those games for whatever reason. Like, I get, right, there's some level of luck. And, like, I'm not going to sit and pretend, you know, like the odd, like, how the ball bounces, right, off of, like, a random, like, when going for a random rebound or some such, doesn't matter at all. But it's just, like, it keeps happening. Like, it's the kind of thing where it's, like, this is clearly, like, from a math perspective, like, this would clearly be well above, right, a standard deviation or two. Like, it wouldn't make sense for it to all be luck. And talking about that luck stat, some of what it would capture, in my mind, with a team like Providence, is stuff that's not luck, but that's not going to affect the rest of the numbers like that. Right, like, if you're good at keeping it close and then, like, executing in crunch to get the win, it's not going to, like, increase your percentages like that. It's not going to wildly change, like, what your numbers look like on defense or, like, your rebounding numbers or whatnot. It's just going to affect your W's and L's. And Ed Cooley and his team are very good at winning those games, right? They were able to do that again against South Dakota State. And then they blew out Richmond. Like, that game wasn't close. I didn't watch it. Because it wasn't... It was never really close. And... Also, I feel like looking at it and seeing people talk about it kind of demonstrated to me a general lack of trying to understand what a lot of our, like, efficiency numbers and things, like, what KenPom numbers mean, right? Like, KenPom, just efficiency numbers and whatever, what they mean and, like, what they can tell you about stuff. And, not gonna lie, it's nice to see them in the Sweet 16. I hope they go home, because I like my bracket being, like, in a good spot. But, like, if they mess it up, it won't be the worst thing in the world for me. Like, y'all will be okay. Some kind of way. But yeah, that's my rant.
I got nothing.
Philip. Calvin has Kansas losing to Duke, by the way. Just wanted to let you know that.
Listen. So
actually, they lose to Arizona. Actually, you're correct. I do have them losing to Duke in the title game.
So if Kansas and Duke just happen to get to the final, to get to the championship game, I'm going to go stupid. If they win, you're going to hear all about it. I'm going to be rah, rah, rah. If they lose, it was fixed.
I appreciate the honesty.
Right? If they lose, it was fixed.